so that's good. I don't know if anybody's going to come in at 2 p.m., but we'll see. So we're very lucky today to have one of our own, UT's Corey Covert, to lead us through an exploration of integer sequences. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, TR, and thank you all for coming out today, given the rainy circumstance and the time change. I am just going to talk about various sequences, various properties of sequences, and this is actually, it has turned out to be more of a kind of an open-ended thing. I had this goal or fantasy of getting through all of one kind of type of sequence and showing you how to solve all different kinds of types of sequences and such. But anyway, I decided to limit the scope and focus on a few things. So we're going to really just focus on what's something called recurrence relations. That's going to be sort of the heart of the talk, but we're not going to limit ourselves just to that. There are going to be a few other sequences we talk about, and when we do the problems later, you'll see different kinds of things that we'll discuss, but we're really going to focus on recursion relations and so on. But before we talk about all of that, let's actually just start much simpler. What is an integer? Yeah.
Number that can be represented as the floor of any number.
Numbers that are the floor of some other number. Okay. Well, that's some interesting terminology. Floor is an interesting function. What is the floor function?
Is the greatest integer less than or equal to the number?
Aha, greatest integer less than or equal to some other number. I see. But there we are again. What is an integer? What is an integer? It's actually a subtle question. It's actually not rigorously, it's not very easy to define, but we can abstract in a sense. You know, I'm holding chalk in my hand, and how many quantities or how many units of chalk am I holding in my hand? One, whatever one means. All right, so let's just roll with it. So yeah, the integers, at least the positive ones, are used primarily to count things. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. That actually is a sequence, as we'll discuss in a moment. But those are positive integers. What other kinds of integers are there?
Negative ones.
All right. So we've got negative 1. Negative 2, negative 3, negative 4. But negative integers don't make any sense, really, without arguably one of the most important integers, which is 0. Good. Okay, 0. Right, 0. Very cool. So that, you know, when you extend, form a set of integers. So now, we're going to really focus on certain collections of integers organized in a certain way. And it's really hard to, you know, in general, I guess, if I were to write a list on the board and ask you to say what's next, in general, this is a very difficult problem because you really never know. But you try and see a pattern, you try and get a pattern and, you know, describe that pattern in terms of ordinary functions, polynomials or exponential functions and such, and then try and do things with that discovery. So for example, let me give you a little example here. So we're kind of natural pattern seekers in a sense. I'm going to write down a subcollection of integers, and I want you to see if you can tell me what will come next. Well, I'll let you figure what's next. Someone else, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. 16. Why 16? They're square numbers, okay? So, very good. So this is 1 squared, this is 2 squared, this is 3 squared, and this is 4 squared. And you know the next is going to be 5 squared. And you arrived at that conclusion by looking at these numbers and by comparing them to numbers that you already know and patterns that you already know, right? All right, how about this one? Oh, okay, so what goes there? Yeah. 64. Why 64?
Because you're doubling the number each time.
Doubling the number each time. Doubling which number?
The previous
doubling the previous number each time. Doubling the previous number each time, okay? All right, so these are powers of 2. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting, okay? Because there are two ways that we can see the powers of 2 sequence. What's one way? Well, if I asked you what goes in the 8th spot, now you can, well, actually, yeah, if I asked you what goes in this spot, you could say 64, which is what you said, which is very good. You could also say 2 to something. 2 to what? 2 to the 6th. You could say 2 to the 6th. Right? That's also correct. See. Right? So you could say, well, this sequence or this sort of list here, I haven't really said what a sequence is. This list here, you know, looks something like this. I plug in n, and that tells me what's in a certain spot, right? Or what you said, which is, hey, if you know the previous number, to get the next one, you multiply 2. Right? These are two different ways, it seems, to represent this list. One goes back, sort of, recursively, if you will. The other is just a straight formula. You see, okay? So let's talk a little more formally about this. So a sequence, first, I don't know sort of what all of you have seen, but based on some of the responses to questions, I imagine some of you know what a function is. Good. All right. So, fantastic. So really, a sequence, all a sequence is a function. Okay? All right. So a sequence. And in fact, let me say an integer sequence. Okay. An integer sequence is a function whose input is a positive integer and output is any integer. Okay? So it's a function whose input is a positive integer and whose output is any old integer. Okay? So, So, For example, I might define, you know, f of n, so f is a function, this is my input here. Okay, and I might define it to be n squared, and this is my output. Right? And in this way, f of 1 is 1 squared is 1. F of 2 is 2 squared is 4. F of, you know, 3 is 3 squared is 9. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So it's really a function. Right? Now you may say, well, wait a minute. You said earlier that functions are lists. So why is all this f of n stuff? Where's all that coming from? How is this a list? And such. That's a very good question. So how is this a list? So when we refer to a sequence, technically we're referring to this function here. We're technically referring to this function. But what we do is we'll write it out. We'll write out the values as a list. So we'll write out the values as a list. The list being something like this, f of 1, f of 2, f of 3, f of 4, and so on. So in this scenario, it would be 1, 4, 9, 16, and such. Okay? So this is a sequence. Okay? All right, so this is one way you can have a sequence. You can cube things, you can do all kinds of things to get integer sequences. All right, any questions?
So when you talk about integer sequences,
yeah.
You were saying that all the elements are integers.
Yes, the outputs, yes. Output. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, because it should be 2 to the n minus 1. Yes. Yes. And I didn't say that that was the thing in the nth spot. I was careful not to say that because of the shifting. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we have now sort of a rigorous definition of sequence. So now we want to kind of talk about sort of the heart of things, which is recursion relations. Okay? Now, I am only going to really focus on, very special kind of recurrence. Okay? Let's go back to this previous example here, where we had our list. It was 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and such. Okay? So our power is of 2, and as was pointed out, starting with 2 to the 0th. Okay? And now let's try and... So we know what this is, right? We know what this is. We know that f of n is really 2 to the n minus 1, right? But now let's try and encode this in a way that relates the function, in a sense, to itself. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So we have to define f of 1, right? You need to know how to start, in a sense. And then once you know how to start, you use this recursion relation. It says, hey, to get the next number, take the previous one and multiply by 2. Okay? So I'm an n minus 1 guy. Some people are n plus 1, n people. I'm an n. You know. Anyway. So good. So we could say, well, you know, define f of 1 to be 1. Okay. So let's forget that we so forget we know this beforehand, and this is all we have is our sequence. As presented this way, I haven't given you what the formula is, but let's just say that's all we have ahead of time. Now, I know f of 1 is 1, right? And I'm now trying to describe this using recurrence relation. Well, I know that f of n appears to be the current guy or the next guy or whatever, appears to be twice. How do I describe the previous one? It was pointed out, so it's just f of n minus 1. Right? F of n minus 1. Now, this is interesting. So here we have a function. And again, forget that I know this ahead of time. We have here this function. And I'm claiming that it defines a sequence. I'm claiming that it is, in fact, a sequence. Right? Well, but it looks weird because you don't know like what the 2015th spot is without knowing all the ones before. So you have right to be skeptical that this is actually even, you have right to be skeptical that this actually defines a function. Okay, you have right to be skeptical in lots of ways. But sort of forgetting all of that, this is a perfectly reasonable relationship between f and previous values of f, which is the essence of what a recurrence relation is. Okay? So I'm going to very loosely define a recurrence relation, and then I'm going to give you a precise definition of a recurrence relation immediately after that. So a very loosely defined is that a recurrence relation, okay, is simply a relationship. This is very loose, very, very loose. Between f of n and previous values of it. Previous values of the sequence. Of the sequence. Okay? This is a mathematically not a very good definition at all, okay? But this is the idea, this is an intuition about what recurrence relation is, okay? This is sort of the idea. You have to understand the idea. So the idea is that in order to get f of n, or the nth spot in the sequence, I need to know information about the previous spots. So what do I mean by relationship, and what do I mean by all this other stuff now? That's where I have to be a little more precise. So we're going to focus our attention on recurrence relations that look like this. Okay. All right. Before I write down the more formal, I know I was going to give you one immediately after, but before I write down the more formal definition, I want to give like the most classic example of a recurrence relation that many of you have probably seen, and then we'll go into the more formal definition of it. What am I going to write on the board? What sequence am I going to write? You already know. Yeah, okay, good, Fibonacci, yes. Okay, all right, great. So, so I'm going to start with 1. Now, this is why recurrence relations are really cool, okay? Because this is why it's really cool. Okay, so 1, 1. Okay, now how do I get the next one? Yeah.
Add the two previous ones.
Okay. All right. Great. So this one will be 2, then 5, then 8. Okay. Then 13, very good. Oh, who haven't I picked on? Yeah. 21, good. Okay, this is why. Now, before I get too formal here, you should always ask, why should you care about something, and why should you care about recurrence relations? Because this was as easy to describe using a recurrence relation as it was using this formula. So who cares? But this is really cool. You see, I can tell you how to generate this sequence by just saying add the previous two. But now if I ask you to write down a formula, gets quite a bit harder. Quite a bit harder. Okay? Right? So we denote by Fn the nth Fibonacci number. So the goal of the talk today is that you will be able to discover the formula of the Fibonacci sequence. And not just that, but lots of sequences. Okay? All right. So, who know? By the way, does anybody know? You don't have to say. Don't say. But has anyone seen the actual formula for the Fibonacci sequence? Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's a kind of complicated thing, right? There's lots of weird stuff. But you'll actually be able to figure out how to solve it today. Okay. So that's cool. So notice that how do you describe? I'm gonna try and be a little consistent here. How do you describe this? How do you describe the Fibonacci sequence using a recurrence relation? Yeah. So this is this, okay? And this formula only holds for n greater than or equal to 2, all right? And we of course define f of 0 to be 1. And f of 1 to be 1. So I give you these two initial conditions here, and then this tells you how to generate the sequence for all n. Okay? Pretty formula here. And no way tells you what a formula would be whereby you plug in an n and you instantly know what the nth Fibonacci number is without knowing all the ones beforehand. No idea, no hints about what that formula could be. Okay? And it's fascinating. All right, it's fascinating. Okay. So now what do I mean? So I was saying something about recurrence relation being a relationship between f of n and some previous values of the sequence and all this kind of stuff. So let's try and write down something a little bit more formal. So we say f of n is a linear homogeneous integer sequence, integer recurrence relation. Okay. If there are integers C1, CP, so they're P integers, all right? And I'll give you an example here with like P equals 2 or something. Okay. Such that F of n is C1, F of n minus 1 plus C2, F of n minus 2 plus C3, F of n minus 3 plus CP f of n minus p for n at least p. Okay? And of course, you specify some initial values, you know, like f of 0 through f of p. Okay? So you specify some initial values. But it takes this general form for n greater than or equal to p. So let's look at this example. So here's an example right here. So I specify f of 0 and f of 1 ahead of time. What then are my integers C1? So what's p? P is 2, right? It's the largest integer, you know, that looks like that's like this, okay? So you have n minus 1, you have n minus 2. So it's the largest k. It's n minus k in your recurrence. So p evidently is 2 here. Right? Because we're trying to get this formula here. So P is 2. And what is C1 equal to? These are like your coefficients. Okay, so C1 and C2 are both 1. Why is that? Yeah, so there's just a 1 here, hidden in disguise. Hidden in disguise there. Okay? Yeah? All right, what's another example here? Let's go back to what we did before. Now I'm going to switch in. I've switched indices a little bit on you guys, but that's okay. So f of 0 is 1. Now f of n is 2 f of n minus 1 for n greater than or equal to 1. Is this a linear homotopy? And don't worry so much immediately right now what these fancy words are. Let's just focus on the big picture. So does that take that form? Have a nod for yes. Is this a linear homogeneous integer recurrence relation? Or just let's just say recurrence relation for now, because that's... Yeah? What... let me hear from someone. So do you think it's linear? You do? And why is that? Standard in a sense. Does it, if you had to get, so what is P in this situation? P is 1, very good. And what's C1? 2, excellent, okay. So P is 1 here in this situation. P is 1 in this situation, and C is 2. C1 is 2, okay. So that's a linear homogeneous recurrence relation, okay. The linearity means that basically I'm not squaring or cubing any of these fn minus 1s and multiplying them together in a sense. You know, these c1s are not f of n's in disguise. They're just whole numbers. They will, for us, they will just be whole numbers. Homogeneous, and again, these aren't super important things for us, okay? I just want to just say it anyway. Homogeneous means that I'm not adding something that's like totally different from all of this at the end. So I'm not adding like a, you know, e to the n or like an n squared that's totally different from all of this. I just have a relationship between f of n and its previous terms. That's all I have in terms of integer coefficients. Okay. So for example, So just to give a couple of very quick examples, so this is an example of something that's not linear, okay? So this would be f of n is, you know, f of n minus 1 times f of n minus 2. Okay, so that would be something that's not linear. It's a recurrence relation because it's a relationship between the previous values of f and f, but it's not linear. Something that's not homogeneous. So f of n, let's do our Fibonacci sequence. But now let's add n squared. Okay? Well, this is this extra n squared thing. Okay? It's not homogeneous because you have some junk at the end. So we're not, on your worksheet there will be there's a problem where it asks you to think a little bit about this, but for the most part we're not going to focus on that right now. We're just going to focus on the big picture. Okay. So let's get to the fun part. All right. So So let's take it back. Again, I like this example here. You know already that this sequence is powers of two. All right? You know that already. You know that from experience. You know from just writing out the list. You know that it's powers of two. So someone walks up to you one day and they write down this recurrence relation here, like this. And they say, you know, I'm just not feeling all that well or something, but I just don't know what this is in terms of just in. I don't want a recurrence relation. I want an actual function that I can plug in n equals 2015 and get the answer without knowing anything. You're like, oh, well, it's just powers of two. Come on. You know. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess. But, you know, I've got a lot of functions. Not just powers of two. I get that Fibonacci thing. I've got some other stuff. And, you know, I've heard that there are formulas out there, but I just don't... How do you generate these things? How do you do that? You know, it's, you know, and so it's a tough question. So you say, well, we could play with this here. Let's suppose we didn't know that f of n was 2 to the n. But let's kind of cheat. Let's make a guess. Sometimes in math, when you don't know the answer, you do guess and see what happens. So you guess. You guess. You say, well, let's be a little subtle. Suppose I guess that it's a power. Suppose I guess f of n is a power. Okay. So f of n is a to the n for some n. And yeah, I know it's powers of 2 already, but suppose I didn't have that insight with this. Suppose I didn't know it was powers of 2 already, but I just realized that the sequence grows really fast. I mean, I could have changed a 2 to a 7 or something like this, or anything. And I just realized the sequence grows really fast. I'm like, well, there's only one kind of sequence that I know that grows really, 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 really fast, and those are exponentials, right? So maybe you would guess that it's exponential. So you say, well, so let's just guess. You know, again, it's kind of contrived because you know the answer. But let's just guess. So you guess this. And you know this to be true. You know this to be true. So that tells me what? Well, that tells me that a to the, so that tells me that f of n is 2 f of n minus 1. So what's f of n? Well, f of n is a to the n. But what's 2 f of n minus 1? What's 2 f of n minus 1? A to the n minus 1? Almost. 2 times a to the n minus 1. Okay. 2 times a to the n minus 1. Well, let's see here. Let's see. So this is 2 times a to the n is going to be a little bit of high school algebra here. That's all right. You guys seem to be okay there. So that's true. That's true. Yeah? Of course, a is non-zero because if it were 0, then f would be 0, but it's not. So a is not 0, so we can divide by it. So these guys are gone, divide by it. And so now I get that 1 is 2a to the negative first. This is the inverse of a, so I can multiply on the right-hand side, both sides, by a. So I do that, and then do, you know, that. They're gone. Again, that's legal, because a is not 0. And lo and behold, I get A equals 2. Huh. Now, again, if we had gotten something different, we should be concerned. Right? Because we know that the thing is powers of 2. But here is something interesting. Suppose you went back to Fibonacci. Because we might be onto something. So you're like, okay, well, I like this here. So what happens now? So suppose I say f of n is this. Now suppose we do the same thing. Again, if you look at the Fibonacci sequence and you wait long enough, you look at a long list, it looks like it's growing somewhat exponentially. If you wait long enough, I mean, the numbers get really big, okay? Right? But you got to have the sort of that eye for exponential growth, because the it is in a sense, but just barely so. So suppose you do the same thing here. Suppose you say f of n is a to the n. I'm sorry, yes, f of n is a to the n, yeah. I should use another letter. I should use r, because on your worksheet I use a for something else, but we'll be fine. Okay. Then what happens? Well, then a to the n is a to the n minus 1 plus a to the n minus 2. Yeah. Well, what's going on here? Well, this is a to the n times a to the negative 1 plus a to the n times a to the negative 2. What's common to all three factors? A to the n? Yeah, good. Okay, good. They're gone. Gone. So I get now 1 is a to the minus 1 plus a to the minus 2. Now, if I multiply both sides by a squared, then this tells me that a squared is a plus 1. In other words, it's a real number whose square is 1 more than itself. I bet some of you know an example of such a number. Yeah. The golden ratio. Very good. Do you know what the golden ratio is? Forgot? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so this equation has two solutions. Yeah, one is the golden ratio and one is something else. Okay. All right, so one such solution is 1 plus root 5 over 2. Then there is another solution also, which is 1 minus this root of 5 over 2. Okay. But the point is, if we assume that it is a power, we get a polynomial that we, in principle, can solve. And we get a certain set of values that power could be. Right? A finite set of powers. A finite set of possibilities. Okay? So here's an example here. Okay? So, but now, if you have dabbled in solving equations before, you know that a lot of weird things can happen when you go to solve an equation. So let's sort of write down again, let's kind of write down sort of the general idea. So again, before I go on to talk about a few other things, so again, this, I just erased it, but this is our general formula here. And if we assume that f of n is a to the n, then I get a to the n is c1 a to the n minus 1 plus cp a to the n minus p. And by repeating the procedure that we did before, I get that a to the p is c1 a to the p minus 1 plus cp. Okay. So this is a polynomial in A of degree p. Okay. And, of course, if p is 2, or at most 2, we know how to solve p. Right? Raise your hand if you know the quadratic formula. Awesome sauce. Okay. So you know how to solve p then using the quadratic formula. Okay. But, of course, when you solve using the quadratic formula, you get some interesting things, okay? Sometimes you get two different roots. Sometimes you get a repeated root. Sometimes you get complex roots, okay? And those lead to different kinds of things you have to do when you go to solve your recurrent relation. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to focus right now on the distinct roots case. And if we have time, I am going to do maybe complex roots if we have a little bit of time. And I have a repeated roots thing on your sheet if you want to try that out, okay? Just to see sort of, it doesn't really take you through everything, but it hints at what you'd have to do to get a more general solution, okay? So, let's call the polynomial p of x equals, you know, x to the p minus c1 x to the p minus 1 minus cp. The characteristic polynomial of our recurrence, of f. Okay? That is just this it's just this polynomial here. All right, I've moved everything over to the left-hand side, and I'm now just defining it to be a polynomial. Of course, a is apparently a root of this polynomial. Okay? So the roots of this polynomial are what we're going to be looking for. Okay? So now, I'm more or less going to cheat and just state the theorem. Suppose that the characteristic polynomial has distinct roots. Okay, please forgive my handwriting. Okay, so suppose the characteristic polynomial has distinct roots, meaning all the roots are different. Okay? Right? All right, and let's call the roots let's call them R1, R lowercase r subscript 1, through R subscript P. Okay? So P different roots. Okay. Then there exists coefficients, and they may not be the same of what you have had before. Let's call them D1 through dp, such that, this is amazing, such that f of n is D1 R1 to the N plus DP RP to the N. Okay, so many of you are going to go on, this may not make any sense to you right now, many of you are going to go on to become mathematicians, which is awesome, and you're going to, if you go on to become a mathematician for the rest of your life, you're going to be reading statements like this, okay? And when you see something like that, you see R's, you see P's, you see D's, you see F's, you see all this stuff, and you say, you know, I don't care how good you are, how good you get, at some point you're just like, okay, how do I interpret this? How do I understand what's going on here? And almost anyone will tell you, listen, you see this, it's stated in the most general form. When you see something like that, make it concrete to see what's going on, to get an idea of what's going on. So we're going to make it really concrete to see what's going on here. So we're going to choose a value of P, we're going to choose a recurrence, we're going to, you know, and in so choosing, we're going to therefore have a value of P. And we're going to play with this and see what happens. And we've actually done a lot of work already, so let's sort of keep this momentum going. Okay. So we had f of n is f of n minus 1 plus f of n minus 2 before. This is the Fibonacci sequence. Again. And we know what the characteristic polynomial is because we have already discussed, we already did the work, but just to sort of go through it one more time, you know, we had r to the n was r to the n minus 1 plus r to the n minus 2, and this told us that r squared is r plus 1. So we know it's p of x is x squared minus x minus 1. Okay. And now I know how to solve this using the quadratic formula. So x is 1 plus or minus the square root of, I should make you guys do this. B squared minus 4ac, b squared 1, okay, minus 1 squared minus 4, a, and then minus, you know, okay, all over 2a, yada, 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 yada. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Oh, actually, just real quick, so most of you already know the quadratic formula. How many of you know how to prove it? Cool. All right. So you should try and prove it. It's really cool. Just try and prove it sometime. If you want to know how to prove it today, come see me later and we'll talk about it. Okay, so this is 1 plus or minus the square root of b squared. This is 1 minus, so this is plus 4 over 2. And it's 1 plus or minus the square root of 5 over 2. So this gives us simultaneously both roots at once. Okay, the quadratic formula gives you all the roots, and this gives us both roots. Again, and we have already discovered these to be 1 plus or minus the square root of 5 over 2. But now we're going to use this theorem. And this theorem tells me that, in fact, f of n, so therefore, f of n is d1 times 1 plus, this is really cool, times 1 plus the square root of 5 over 2 to the n, plus d2 times 1 minus the square root of 5 over 2 to the n, for some constants, d1 and d2. Yeah. This is pretty cool. Okay. So now we should try and find out what these constants are because, the story isn't complete until we know, you know, everything. Right? We want to know everything. We want to know everything. Okay. So everybody's got this. Everybody knows or a lot of people know the golden ratio, so I'm going to erase this here because we know what those roots are. They're already there. I'll leave the theorem over there. Okay, so now this is where, because notice that in my finding this, I have not really used my initial conditions at all. I have just found a general formula that depends only on the recurrence relation, algebraic recurrence relation. I have not used my initial conditions. And if I had constants here, like 2 and 3, say, and I had not used my initial conditions, you all should be throwing orange juice at me and stuff. Because the fact is, you could say, well, gee, no, that would be nonsense. It should depend on the initial conditions. And these constants are telling you, yes, it does depend on those initial conditions. Of course, we know what the initial conditions for Fibonacci sequence are. 1 and 1, right? So we know that f of 0 equals 1, and we know that f of 1 equals 1. And this is what we're going to use to solve for D1 and D2. So, for example, f of 0 being 1 tells us what? Well, it tells us that so 1 has to equal when I plug in 0 over here. Well, that's D1 plus D2. Yeah? Cool. So 1 is D1 plus D2. I also know something else. I know that when I plug in 1, I get 1. But now I have got some algebra over here. Though we all love algebra. Right? Okay, so this is D1, 1 plus root 5 over 2, plus D2, 1 minus root 5 over 2. Okay, does everybody see how I got these equations? Okay. Sweet, sweet deal. Okay. Okay. Well, this is a theorem. Okay. Okay. So let's actually solve the system here, solve system equations. Okay, so now, what do we know? Well, we know that, like, for example, D2 is 1 minus D1. Right? So D2 is 1 minus D1. Okay. So 1 is D1 times 1 plus the square root of 5 over 2. This is 1 minus D1. So 1 minus the square root of 5 over 2. Yeah? Okay. So 1 is D1, 1 plus root 5 over 2. Okay. And this is 1 minus root 5 over 2 minus D1 times 1 minus root 5 over 2. I distributed this through here. Now I'm going to bring this over here. Okay, so I get 1 minus root 5 over 2. And that's D1 times 1 plus root 5 minus 1 minus root 5 all over 2. So what did I do here? Well, I brought this term over here. And I pulled a D1 out from both guys. Okay? And by the way, let me just say, if you don't believe anything, or if you think I'm going too fast, it's totally cool, because you're going to solve your own recurrence relations, and you can. And I strongly encourage you to go through this yourself, and, you know, solve this linear system yourself to figure out what the solutions are. Great. Okay, so now what do I do? So this is, so I'm going to simplify. So this is 2 minus 1, you know, plus root 5 over 2. That's D1. And great. And the 1's are gone. These 1's cancel each other out. And we're left with the 2 root 5. We're left with the 2 root 5 over 2, which is just root 5. Great. Sweet. Okay. Should I have more space here? Yeah, okay. All right. Great. Great. So 2 minus 1 plus root 5 over 2 is d1 times root 5, and 1 plus root 5 over 2 is d1 times root 5. And over 2 root 5 is apparently d1. And d2, I've done my... yes, because you can do something a little tricky. Okay, and d2 is 1 minus this. So d2 is 1 minus... That's 2 root 5 minus 1 minus root 5 over 2 root 5. And that's root 5 minus 1 over 2 root 5. Okay? So these are some weird algebraic coefficients, right? Weird algebraic coefficients. And now... And now the theorem says, well, go ahead and plug them in, and you got it, and you're good to go. Okay. All right, and so this is 1 plus root 5 over 2 root 5. Provided I've, not messed anything up here. To the end, plus root 5 minus 1 over 2 root 5. Times 1 minus root 5 over 2 root 5 to the n.
But there's no root 5 inside, it's just 2.
Yes, yes, thank you. Yes. And this is sort of the procedure that you use to solve these recurrence relations. All right? Yeah, I didn't work this out ahead of time before I got here, so I hope I didn't make any algebraic mistakes up there. But I strongly encourage you all to do that. All right, but the principle is there. Okay, the principle is to find your d1 and your d2. You need to, or d1 through dp, you plug in your initial conditions and you get a linear system of equations. Right? And you're good to go. And you solve your linear system, and you get your coefficients. And you can make this, there's a more familiar way to present this, because I can combine these guys and put like a 2 out here and take out a root 5. And I can make it pretty, right? I haven't made it pretty because we're running out of time. But you can make it pretty, make it look like that familiar formula that you see everywhere when you look at the Fibonacci sequence. And this is how you solve basic homogeneous recurrence relations with distinct roots, characteristic polynomial having distinct roots. Okay? Now, of course, there is what happens if you have complex roots or distinct roots. I'm sorry, or repeated roots. You actually, for the complex roots, you actually can do the same thing. Of course, you might want something that looks a little bit prettier than 1 plus square root of 3i or something like this inside of your formula. And you can do that using something called de Moivre's formula. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write just a little bit on the board about de Moivre's formula in case you want to go on and learn how to do that with the worksheet. I think there's maybe one problem where you run into this issue. And I'm just going to put it as like a puzzle piece on the board. And I'm not going to say much more about it. Okay? And I'm going to see if you all can figure out how to use that puzzle piece to write your recurrence relation if you get complex roots in a nice way, using cosines and sines and such. Okay? So in particular, I'm just going to write this one thing on the board, and I'm going to let you guys figure out what to do with it if you want. There are lots of problems on your sheet, so you don't have to. But I'm going to write this. All right, so this is all I'm going to write. All right, who is familiar with complex numbers? If you're not familiar with complex numbers, you don't even have to bother. Okay. But if you are familiar with complex numbers, which I don't have time to go over, then this formula here, combined with a problem on your sheet where you run into complex solutions, see if you can put the puzzle pieces together to see how to come up with a general solution that looks nice, in a sense. Okay? All right. Okay, before I close the talk, I just want to say that on the worksheet there are 8 problems. The first four are closely related to what we talked about. The last 4 are just questions about sequences in general. They're not necessarily recurrence relations. They're just sequences, integer sequences. And, they're not necessarily straightforward, you know, so they're meant to be challenging and frustrating, but give them a shot, okay. So the first 4 relate to what we talked about, and the last 4 are just cool questions, I guess. But anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. I'm just going to say let's take a break before we answer your question, and then we will work on the worksheets together. We have some graduate students here that will help you out. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question goes back to the first guess you made about it being a polynomial.
Yes. An exponential? Yeah.
Is there any, so that can be applied for any linear homogeneous?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Will you never reach a point where that was not a valid first case?
Right. Well, that's, yeah. So if I gave you, for example, non-linear things, and you made that guess, for example, in factorial, you can write as... you can define n factorial, you know, as f of n is n times f of n minus 1. Okay. Now, these don't have constant coefficients, okay, so it's not quite what we did before. A guess that it grows exponentially would be incorrect here. Of course, it doesn't grow exponentially. So here's an example where that method would fail, and sure enough, if you were to try it out, you wouldn't get a fixed polynomial with constant coefficients. And solving something like that, you can do using, I'm making kind of a bold claim here, but you can probably use generating functions or something, which is a very beautiful, powerful technique to solve all these kinds of things. So you can probably solve this with maybe, I don't know, I'm kind of making a bold guess, but so. Any other questions? Or? Yeah?
So you're telling me that if I set the variable x in 2015 and that formula on the board, and took this part of the power of square roots and stuff, I would get not only a whole number, but a matching number?
That's correct. Yeah. That's one of the first things that's fascinating about this, is that look at all these algebraic numbers here that I've multiplied together and all this stuff. If I plug in 2015, I'm going to get like the 2015th or 2014th Fibonacci number or whatever, depending on how I've set up my indices. That's absolutely correct, yeah. Which is weird. It's an integer. That's an integer for every n. That's what's so amazing and so bizarre about the Fibonacci sequence. Yeah, I actually, I think it was about 5 years ago or so, I spent a summer at Williams College doing research on these kinds of weird sequences that do things like this. You plug in a number, you get out an integer, but they're like algebraic things and very fascinating stuff. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay, let's take a break on math.
Thanks. Having fun? Raise your hand if you worked on one. Very cool. Two. Very cool. Three. Start on three. Four. Any of five through eight. Cool. Did you see any of the problems that you didn't want, that you did not work on, but you'd like to see how it's done? Number eight. Any other people want to see eight, or just one person wants to see eight? Okay, very cool. Yeah, eight's a nice one. Huh? Someone said something else? You said two? Okay. Okay, So how do you do some of these here? So let's start with one. We'll do one, two, and I guess eight. So one, I told you that x to the n is 2 to the n plus 3 to the n. And the first thing I asked you to do is compute x0 and x1. So x0 is what?
two.
Two. Why is it two? Why is it two? One plus one. Okay, good. So, great. And x1 is, why is it 5? Yeah, and why is that so? 2 plus 3, very good. Sweet. Then the problem got much easier, right? Okay, so then I asked you to compute a recurrence relation. So what was I looking for? Well, I was looking for, or what am I looking for? Well, I'm looking for something that looks like this for some p and some choice of integer coefficients. Yeah. So I imagine many adults in the room are engineers. So many of you, so therefore the strategy, is to reverse engineer, in a sense. I can build stuff too. see? Okay. Reverse engineer the theorem. Okay. So you notice here that I have two powers. And the insight that I wanted you to have is that if you look at this theorem here and you look at some of the work that we did, you see that, hey, look, it looks like I start with a recurrence and I get a sum of powers. So if I start with a sum of powers, maybe there's a way for me to get a recurrence. Okay, well, but what are the powers here? Well, you know, so my theorem is telling me that, you know, x of n or xn or whatever is going to be like r1 to the n. So I should expect something like, I mean, my sequence looks something like this. So I'd expect my characteristic polynomial. I'd expect my characteristic polynomial to look something like a quadratic, where the roots are 2 and 3. So I guess I'm saying R1 is 2 and R2 is 3. Right? It's exactly what it is. So that leads me to believe that, well, you know, perhaps the characteristic polynomial, you know, is something like x squared, you know. So the characteristic polynomial is x minus 2 times x minus 3, because 2 and 3 are roots of this. Then you do some arithmetic, and you see that this is x squared minus 5x plus 6. So in other words, so when we go to reverse engineer, right? If we go to reverse engineer this, what should we be trying to do? Well, you know, the highest power term was on its own side, right? And the lower terms were on the other side. It's recurrence relation. You're writing higher order things in terms of lower order things. So, in other words, if x is 2 or 3, right? So, if x equals 2 or 3, then what we had was something like this. We had that x squared, well, minus x squared is minus 5x plus 6. Or, x squared is 5x minus 6. And so this would be where you get your intuition for what the sequence should be, right? Because now you say, oh, well, I remember how we got this. See, maybe there was a 1 here, divide by that, you get 5x to the minus 1 minus 6x to the minus 2. Multiply both sides by x to the n. And x to the n is 5x to the n minus 1 minus 6x to the n minus 2. Hey, that looks similar. This is true. If x is 2 or 3, that's true for every n. That's true for every n, if x is 2 or 3. But this suggests, okay, this suggests we should try... let me write it over here. That suggests that we should try... xn equals 5x n minus 1 minus 6x of n minus 2. Yeah. And I have my initial conditions here. This is why I asked you to compute them. Right here. Yeah? There you go. Okay? Okay. There was a request for 2 also? 3? 2, 3? Okay. 2, 3. Okay. All right. Let's do... So more people want to see 3. I forget what 3 is. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so this is cool. So this sort of begins to tell the story of what you do when you have repeated roots. Okay, I have the solution here. So let me erase this. So what was the story? So you know this. I'm going to reuse f of n here. So you know f of n is c1, f of n minus 1, plus c2, f of n minus 2. And you know its characteristic polynomial looks a certain way by assumption. See. So we're going to compute the same characteristic polynomial in two different ways. Right. So how do I compute the characteristic polynomial in one way? Well, again, if I assume, you know, so it's, what is it? So r squared is c1r plus c2. Okay, so if f of n is r to the n, right, you get this, okay? So r squared minus c1r minus c2 is 0. So on one hand, our characteristic polynomial, p of x, it looks like this. It looks like x squared minus c1x minus c2. Yeah? On the other hand, I told you that p of x is also x minus alpha quantity squared for some real number, real number alpha. So I'm telling you what it is ahead of time. And use this information to figure out what the coefficients are. Okay. Problem-solving people, AMC people, AMC 8, AMC 10 people. Okay. When you are dealing with problems that involve polynomials, it is very useful sometimes to think about polynomials factorized in terms of their roots. right? Because when you think about it this way, you see that there is a really cool relationship between the roots of the polynomial and the coefficients. You know, for example, like the product of the roots being the last coefficient or something like this. Okay? So that is a very useful fact. All right? Won't get you a perfect score on AMC all the time, but useful to know. Okay, good. Okay, so what is this? So this is x squared minus 2 alpha x is alpha squared. Yeah? Okay. Well, what does this tell me? Well, I know that whatever's in front of x here must be the same that's in front of x there. So I know that c1 is 2 alpha. And I know that c squared is minus, c2 is minus alpha squared. Yeah. So that's one kind of thing. Okay. The next kind of hurdle is unpacking my very poorly written sentence about what I meant by being a solution. Okay. So what do I mean by alpha to the n is a solution, so now n alpha to the n, or nrn, to be consistent here, is also a solution. So this is what I mean. I mean that, you know, if B of n, well, let's just say G to be somewhat, okay, is nRn, nR to the n, then G of n also is C1, G of n minus 1, C2, G of n minus 2. Yeah? So how do you prove something like this? Well, you kind of start with what you know, all right? So you start with, I would start with this side here, and show that it's equal to this, because I know what everything is. I know what I'm claiming G of n to be this. Okay? So, all right, let's see if I don't screw this up here. Okay, so C1 G of n minus 1 plus C2 G of n minus 2, and I'm being a little loose with indices, this n bigger than or equal to 2 and such, but let's not worry about all that right now. Okay, so C1 G of n minus 1 plus C2 G of n minus 2 is what? Well, it's C1 times G of n minus 1, and G of n minus 1 is by definition this at n minus 1, which is n minus 1, r to the n minus 1, and this is C2, and again, what is this? N minus 2, r to the n minus 2. Right. Yeah. And this, we can just change this alpha to an R. I mean, R. Just to be consistent, I used alpha in the paper. R here. Okay. Great. Yeah. Okay. So now, what do you do? Well, so I know what C1 is. I know what C1 is. 2R. So 2R times n minus 1, R to the n minus 1. C2 is minus R squared, n minus 2, R to the n minus 2. Yeah. Okay, so what is this here? Okay, so let's bring this R over here to this guy first. And so that's a 2R to the n times n minus 1, minus, and this R squared and this R to the n minus 2, let's marry them. That's minus R to the n. That's n minus 2. Okay, and now we can distribute this here, and I get 2r to the n times n minus 2r to the n minus nr to the n plus 2r to the n. They're gone. And this is nr to the n. These combine. And that's g of n. All right. QED. Okay? So that proves that When you have repeated roots, this kind of hints at what you have to do. Okay? You have to account for the multiplicity by adding that extra n. What do you guys think you might do if I had a 2015 here? You say try half as far, you say? Right here, for the exponent. Suppose this root was repeated 2015 times. What do you think you might try? Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's not clear what the pattern is, right, from here. Just the root is repeated 2015. So it's x minus r to the 2015. Huh? P will be 2015. Yes, that's right. Yes. And you take n here, so you're gonna have this, but you're gonna have like an n squared r to the n, and then an n cubed r to the n, and then an n to the fourth r to the n, and so on. Okay. Cool. All right. So that's sort of hints of what you do with a repeated case. All right. So there was a request for number 8. Anyone else want to, are there any other things?
I think our time is up. Our
time's up? Okay. Well, if you want to see number 8, come see me.
Yeah. You're welcome to talk to the Corey. Thanks, over. Come in.